Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Rap joins me. Morning, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
Can you believe we're at the stage where they're going to put the kits on again and play? Prenton Park is the venue tomorrow
night. I said yesterday on Connor, the season started. 17-18 started yesterday. That was it. That's day one. It's done yesterday. Like on a computer game when it freezes for a bit to upload the new season. That's what happened. That was yesterday. And we're in. It starts on Wednesday, and I think you're going to get quite a strong Liverpool side, to be honest with you. Because
it'll have to be, won't it? Because we're not that many weeks from a Champions League qualifier.
Oh, well, from the start of the season in general. I mean, you know, it's the 12th, it's the 11th of July today. It's the 12th of August, the first game away at Watford, which won't be an easy game. And Liverpool, there's not much room for manoeuvre in this battle for the top four slash title that these six, possibly seven sides find themselves in now. And, you know, it's easy to, last season, for instance, Chelsea started a bit slow, but then they had the anomaly of a 13-match consecutive winning run. There's no point where this is an easy season for anybody, really. I think hitting the ground running is going to be important. No one's going to want to be demoralised. So I think you are going to see that. But the other reason as well is there's a number of key Liverpool players who haven't had international football this summer. There hasn't been a tournament. And the slight bit of international football that there was, Jordan Henderson wasn't selected for, James Milner has retired from international football, Daniel Sturridge wasn't selected for, Roberto Firmino wasn't selected for, though he's had a lovely summer, Roberto Firmino. But there is, what a summer.
He got married, didn't he?
You can't argue with it.
He didn't play for Brazil, but he got married.
Got married, had a 9-day party, looked delighted on all the photographs of him. You know, Matip doesn't get selected for internationals, Lovren doesn't get selected for internationals because they've fallen out with the hierarchy there. So when you begin to go through this list, that's a number of players who, you know, who've come back to Melwood day one and should be looking to start. You know, it's natural that this is the point where they get on the pitch. I don't think it's going to be quite as many young players as there normally is for these games, and that might be slightly frustrating if you're one of those young players, because that's, you know, if you're Ovie Ejaria last season, this was the point where you got to impress. Ben Woodburn got to impress. I think we'll still see those two, but the idea of other lads being able to make a breakthrough, I'm not quite sure on. I don't think that's quite going to happen. And so I think, yeah, you know, this is two games, and I expect to see Wednesday and Friday, I expect to see relatively strong Liverpool sides for at least one half, and then from there, you know, you may then see it sort of get changed up. But I think it's exciting, and I think it's, you know, it's good for some of these players to get back. I think if you're Daniel Sturridge, as an example, you're very much from, you'll have wanted to come back to Melwood day one going, this is how fit I am.
Are we to presume that Daniel is just here? He's going to see the season. Now, it's a big year for him because it's a World Cup year.
I think that I think Sturridge is the biggest question mark in terms of Liverpool's outs. And the reason why is because Daniel Sturridge doesn't want to go and play for West Ham. That's it. I mean, you've got to say that. Daniel Sturridge would rather, would back himself to force himself into the Liverpool reckoning ahead of feeling as though he's got to go to West Ham to get a regular game.
He'd have to be very confident to back himself to get into the Liverpool.
He would, but,
11,
but
though,
Daniel Sturridge is not short of confidence, you know. And also, he can point at a long record of scoring goals. Then, you know, if he gets on the pitch, he scores. That's what he is. That's the sort of player he is.
But the manager's all but given the indicators last season as to where Daniel Sturridge is in the pecking order.
He has, but I still think that the West Ham game's really interesting, that the manager goes two up front. He goes to a diamond midfield and goes two up front. Liverpool have been struggling a little bit at times for a bit of creativity in Mane's absence, for a bit of dynamism in Mane's absence. That game, he goes for Sturridge and Origi up top, pulls Coutinho back deeper, and Liverpool win 4-0. Now, it was maybe a West Ham side that were ever so slightly on the beach, but I think that's quite a... The manager's already said he's going to want to play more systems this year. He's come out and said that. And I do wonder whether or not... You know, just imagine that first week of the season, Liverpool are away at Watford, Champions League qualifier, Crystal Palace at home. Now, if you're Daniel Sturridge, you should be thinking, well, there's a start in that for me. If I'm fit, you should be looking at starting me. Klopp, last season, I think, when he started to play the front three, Firmino, Coutinho, Mane, and it was working for him, well, there wasn't the idea of European games in the middle, first and foremost. But secondly, I think that, you know, Sturridge at that time was having still a couple of issues around his fitness. And I think also he just hit on that this thing worked and wanted to stick with it to get them all used to it. Well, they're used to it now. I mean, you know, there's nothing quite like being in a rhythm and playing every single game with your teammates, but there's a lot of diminishing returns on that. At some point, someone picks up an injury, you can't keep hammering these players. So if you are Sturridge, just to use that one week as an example, If I was Daniel Sturridge and I was talking to my agent, I would be half tempted to have the attitude of, well, let's see where we are after that week. Because if he doesn't start me in any of those three, then it might be that I'm having to think to myself, well, I might need to move on. But I would think that there's every chance that, as I say, you might see a bit more two up front from Liverpool next season. You might see certain players being protected for certain games. I'm of the view that Daniel Sturridge is Liverpool's best flat-track bully. I think he's the player who's most capable of turning it on against players who he's superior to. I think you've seen that throughout his career. He's got a strong record of scoring goals against what we can call in this league the lesser sides. And I don't think that Jurgen Klopp's daft. And the other aspect of this as well is that, you know, Sturridge is 27/28 now, and he's become oddly a little bit of a senior player because Liverpool haven't actually got that many of them. So the idea that he's around the place, all that sort of stuff, he's meant to be, and I've seen him on the pitch with certain players. You know, he's meant to be a good example to the younger lads. He's very engaged with his football when he's playing it. So I think it can still go either way, but I think if you're Sturridge, you're thinking, well, if I get on and I'm scoring goals, then he's going to keep picking me because he needs someone who's going to score goals.
Which would seem obvious, but maybe it's not the way. There's this strange anomaly with Daniel Sturridge. You sort of think behind closed doors, he's having this mental battle with himself. Mm. I should rightfully be seen as one of the great strikers,
yeah.
But I'm not. But I'm not going to move from one of the biggest clubs because I should rightfully be seen as one of the greatest strikers. Yeah, it's catch 22, isn't it?
It is catch 22. I mean, you know, you can almost sum a lot of that up in the Europa League final. And, you know, I still feel there's an aspect where I feel sorry for Sturridge in the Europa League final. But then I think along with a lot of other Liverpool players, he does not have a good second half. But Daniel Sturridge, for instance, does the job of being one of Liverpool's best players. You know, he scores the opening goal in a European final. Well, Steven Gerrard's done that. Kenny Dalglish has done that. You know, you can list the Liverpool players who've, Kevin Keegan, attackers who've stepped up to the mark on the big occasion for Liverpool. Yeah. But then you don't go on and win the game. And second half, Sturridge was really rather anonymous, as was Firmino, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, there was tons of arguments for the manager making a change, just, you know, to go back to that. But I think that's where you know, he's done his bit, if you know what I mean. He's had that moment where he's grabbed it and he scored a fabulous goal.
But he's got unfinished business alside all.
He's got unfinished business across his whole career, and so but that's why I'd rather him have unfinished business and be at Liverpool than have him have unfinished business and be certainly running around for a mid-table side. Now, listen, it might be different if Paris Saint-Germain come in and say, "We'll give Liverpool, you know, we'll give you 30 million for him, and we'll take all of his wages off you." That might become a different conversation. And Sturridge himself might think, "Well, you know what? I'll go and deal with my unfinished business at Paris Saint-Germain," but I just don't quite see the club, you know, Southampton. What's the point of Daniel Sturridge playing for Southampton? It's a waste of everybody's time.
You've just mentioned PSG, but it begs the question, if he is that good, which we believe he is, why is he not the subject of many offers from top-level European sides?
It's an injury question.
Is it purely that, do you think?
I think it's purely that, yeah. It's purely the idea that, you know, and there aren't that many top-level sides. There's 12 teams in Europe. Effectively, in terms of the absolute top table in Europe. So there's the top 10 in the Deloitte rankings, plus Atletico Madrid, plus Spurs. You know, they're the teams in European football. So there's Dortmund and Munich. Well, Dortmund don't buy players like Daniel Sturridge. Bayern Munich aren't going to buy Daniel Sturridge. They don't particularly need him. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid. Again, it doesn't really make sense there as a move for Atletico Madrid.
French-Italian league might make sense.
The French and Italian league might make sense, but Juventus aren't short of centre-forward-based options, and that's why you end up coming back to going, well, it could be Paris Saint-Germain. Because there isn't, that's it. You've almost exhausted your supply. Manchester United aren't going to buy him. He's not going to go to Manchester City. He's been there. He's been to Chelsea. He's done that. Spurs are having a funny summer in general. If I was the Tottenham manager, I'd be all over Daniel Sturridge because I think he massively solves my what do I do if I can't play Harry Kane problem. But there's tons of reasons why that might not happen. And then, so as I say, you end up coming back to Paris Saint-Germain because he's not going to go to the third best team in France. He's not going to go to the fourth best team in Spain. He's not going to go to the third best team in Germany because none of those things will give him what he actually wants, which is the idea of being able to play in, at the very least, a Champions League quarter-final. So you end up sort of going, and that's why he's such a strange player, because he's so immensely gifted, so immensely talented, but he's left with no natural sort of move, progression, or even no natural regression. That's the thing, the idea that there aren't that many clubs that are one rung down from Liverpool. There's a lot of clubs who are three or four rungs down from Liverpool, but there's not that many clubs who are one rung down from Liverpool. So it's quite straightforward as an example, if Liverpool wanted him, and I don't believe they do, but it's an easier sell, for instance, for James Rodriguez to leave Real Madrid and go to Liverpool or Arsenal. or even someone like Chelsea and be able to think, well, that's Real Madrid, that's the pinnacle of world football, I'm a South American footballer, but one rung down, there's these clubs. If you're Daniel Sturridge and you're at Liverpool, well, one rung down is, you know, could be, for instance, Paris Saint-Germain, because they're not a European legendary club, but they are obviously doing very well. But then you've got to, in this country, you've got to look sort of three or four rungs down before you get to a Southampton or a West Ham.
Yeah, there's a chasm, isn't there, until the next club. You spoke before about Liverpool playing different formations this season. Presumably Jürgen's first choice formation is, Firmino's got the number nine, so Firmino, Mane, Salah.
You'd have thought so.
So if that that first choice is never going to be broken, is it?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think that the only way in which you break that is through another player, whoever it is, coming in and genuinely impressing. But I think one of the things that now, having, you know, have the full season with Klopp, I think one of the things, and literally listening to his words as a quote I think he gave back when he was Dortmund manager, that he sort of views all players as having 12-month contracts. And I think he sort of, and one of the ways in which you can grow frustrated with him, but I think it's down to his management style, is I think he effectively makes 12-month agreements with footballers, where if you keep your end of your bargain up, I'll keep my end of my bargain up. So if you're into training, you're on time, you're giving me everything, you're giving me your all, every time you come in for a training session, every time I pick you, then as far as I'm concerned, I'll look after you because you're looking after me. And I think that, you know, there's lots of different ways to manage footballers, and it's a hugely complicated thing, but that's one that to me makes sense. So that's why, for instance, January windows, he doesn't seem that bothered by, as an example, because I put my faith in these lads. These are my lads, and these lads, they're not, one or two of them might not be good enough, but they're not letting me down in terms of their own effort, their own commitment, their own standards. So therefore, as long as they meet my standards in terms of what matters to me, then what I'm not going to do is turn around and knife one of them in the back and bring someone in to play in his position, as an example. So I think, yeah, I think there will be a little, and I think you saw it at times last season, you know, it's easier, as an example. Clavin can come in and have three really good games, or Lucas can come in and have two or three really good games, but if Lovren and Matip are both fit, they start. They start. I don't care about your two or three really good games, because there's a hierarchy and a pecking order here, because you all know where you are, so none of you can't really argue.
Yeah, being honest
that.
With you all. And he seems like that sort of fella.
Yeah, being honest with you all. But I think, though,
is there a difference with the keeper?
No, I don't. I think he was trying to have a go last season with Karius, but I'd be really surprised if Mignolet doesn't start at Watford. Really, really surprised.
Why don't you just say that? Why doesn't he just come out and say he was great for the second half of the season? He showed X number of sort of,
do you know why,
steps up the rung ladder.
Do you know why? I think it's because I think he's looked at it and gone, this fella does better if he doesn't know his place is safe.
Yeah. Psychology.
He could literally have just looked at this. I genuinely think then you can, in general, you can draw that line through Mignolet's Liverpool career. So, you know, when he first comes to the club, he starts well. And then, you know, Brad Jones plays ahead of him at Old Trafford. And then Brad Jones goes off and is dreadful, by the way.
Well, that was a game, wasn't it?
Yeah, literally jumps the wrong way for one of the goals. Literally jumps the opposite directions where the ball's going. And then Brad Jones gets injured against Burnley, and he brings Mignolet back in, and Mignolet's a bit ropey in that first game against Burnley, but you get to see him the next sort of 6-7 weeks. He actually goes up another couple of notches, and then he's comfortable. And then I just sort of wonder if the manager's looked at it and gone, I've got to basically keep this fella constantly on his toes. Yeah. He's got to constantly be on his toes. And some goalkeepers would hate that. Some goalkeepers wouldn't prosper under those circumstances. They need to know, I'm the manager's number one. Whereas for whatever reason, and, you know, different
and
people,
it might keep Lloris thinking, I'm nearly there. I'm nearly there.
Or Danny Ward.
So it might suit them all in some sort of odd way.
Yeah, it could keep everybody absolutely ticking over. So I think that one's there. But in terms of the front three, I think that the other thing as well, which is really important, is, you know,
you've got a minute to sum it up.
Okay, you're going to rotate. You're going to rotate loads. If Liverpool want to play at the pace that they want to play at, and they want to do it across the course of an entire season, there's 11 league games, and I'm going to keep saying this, so I'm going to bore the listeners. There's 11 league games from November the 18th until January the 1st. Whoever does best in those 11 games will probably be the side. Certainly if you do one of the top two in that mini league of 11 games, one of the top two of that will win the league. That's what this is. And within there as well, there's League Cup games if you're through, and there's two Champions League games. So if you're Daniel Sturridge or Divock Origi or Solanke or even Danny Ings, you should be going, right, there's 11 games in a 40-day period. Well, I should be getting my chance there at some point. And if I get my chance and I take it, then who knows who's playing come March for Liverpool.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.